Across the four Gospels, there are a total of seven different accounts of the resurrection of Jesus. And there's one thing that all of them are determined for us to understand, that Jesus was not a spirit. Jesus was not a ghost. There was something utterly tangible, real, physical about this new body that Jesus had at the moment of the resurrection. He could eat, he could drink, he could sit, he could talk with the disciples. Next Sunday, we'll hear the story later in the same chapter of John's Gospel of Jesus gathering with a group of the disciples. But one of them is not there, Thomas. And Thomas is invited to put your hand in the side of Jesus, to show the hands and the feet of Jesus. Here, take your finger, put it into the wounds. It's very physical, very real. So often we've grown up with a Christianity that's more focused on Greek philosophy than Jewish thought. The whole thing about our faith is that we can so often imagine that it's merely spiritual, that it's about our soul and our souls escaping from our bodies to go to heaven. But that's not Christianity. That's certainly not Jewish thought. It's Platonic. It's influenced more by other forms of thought than by Christianity or by their roots within Judaism. Because Judaism is so physical. It's so here and now. It's this present reality that we need to encounter and experience. And even when we think about something like eternal life, it's not a really good translation of this phrase that we find within Jewish thought, within the Hebrew. Ha'olam haba is this sense of the present age is not complete. There isn't something about the present age, because we know the reality of sin. We know the reality of disease and warfare and hatred and violence. And above all, we know the reality of death. And death is never a good thing. We don't like death, and there's a very good reason. Death makes us sad. We mourn, we grieve, we are confused in that moment of death. And all those things mark this present age. But eternal life is about the age to come. It's not necessarily something merely in the future. We can begin to experience Ha'olam haba, the age to come, now. We can begin to experience that reality in this present age. We pray, let your kingdom come, in the Lord's Prayer. We pray that the present reality might be transfused, might be enlightened, might be filled with the glory and wonder of resurrected life. Again, not just a spiritual thing, not just something about our souls, but about the whole of our reality being changed and transformed by the love of God, being changed by the reality of the resurrection. When St. Paul writes about the wonder and the gift of the resurrection in the 15th chapter of his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he reminds us so constantly that all that Jesus was, as wonderful as Jesus was, is merely the first fruits. He was offering this gift to every single one of us who believe, that we can all experience the gift of the resurrection, that we can all encounter what life is like in the age to come, that we can drag that into our present reality whenever we love, whenever we surrender, whenever we open our hearts to the reality of the God who is inviting us more deeply into life, whenever we have that chance to say something hateful, derogatory, whenever there's this stirring of racism within us, if we resist that, if we walk away from that and choose instead to walk the way of life and love and acceptance, and to let the love and mercy of God slowly change our hearts so that those thoughts begin to dissipate and we no longer hold those hatreds, that violence, that tendency to anger within us. They're all signs of the resurrection beginning to change us, beginning to transform us, beginning to allow us to experience what that life is like. The point of Christianity is not that we stay the same. The point of Christianity is that we're slowly changed by love, by that experience of God, by the life of God, to receive that life now, to encounter that life now and to slowly become the people that God has invited us to be. We're meant to be this beacon. We're meant to be a people that declare so wonderfully the power of God's love changing us, forgiving us, reforming us, slowly allowing us to encounter in this present moment the life of the age to come. And that's the life that the resurrection of Jesus opens for us. So let's indeed pray on this day that we might be people that declare that hallelujah is our song. Hallelel is that first part of that phrase. It's this invitation to others. It's a call to others to come and to worship, to come and to praise, to remind ourselves that we are not alone in this. Hallelujah. We're invited to praise. Yah is a short form of the divine name for God. So we're invited into the worship and the praise of God. We're invited into that experience. So it is an act of evangelization to say hallelujah, to invite others into that same encounter and the same reality. So it's the most appropriate word that we declare and say today, that we are a hallelujah people, that we are people that have been changed by his love, and we continue to invite others into that same experience of being known and loved by the risen Lord, who is no longer dead, but he is alive.